Okay, can we actually just open up with prayer? Let's do that. That sounds like a novel idea. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in your presence. Lord, it's an honor any time that we can sense you tangibly in our collective body. God, there's just so many opportunities for believers to gather and talk about you. Like you weren't really there. We're just sort of learning about who you are. But then there's these times where you walk in and you just show us. And that is a privilege, God. So thank you with all of our heart. God, we want to thank you again for rising from the dead, for just claiming the victory over all things and then offering it to us just because you love us. We celebrate you and we say, Lord, we feel your love for us and we are grateful for that, Jesus. We ask that you open up the word and have it speak to our hearts. And we just desire to be encouraged and challenged all at the same time. We desire to be led in the direction that the Holy Spirit wants to take us as a body. And at the end of that rainbow, Father, we want to stand up to the full maturity of Jesus Christ, as Ephesians says. So, Lord, have your way in our life and take anything that you don't want in us out, Father, and put more of yourself in, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is going to be fun. Man, last week we were worshiping, and I had this message, right? And we didn't get to preach it because it's just like the whole worship thing unfolded, and then people started throwing in almost like, you know, the story Stone Soup. You know, and worship was like the stone, and then everybody else started adding, and before long we had the whole pot of stew, and service was over. And it's so funny because a lot of what happened last week was the sermon, and I want to sort of unpack it today, a week later, and then you might say, well, what does that have to do about Jesus and the resurrection? And I thought I would hear an Easter service, and I just saw Alicia in the room, all the way from Texas. Is the whole family here? Okay, can I give you a hug real quick and just say hi?
More kids than me are here.
Okay, are they in the room now?
No.
Okay, is Greg coming with Brady? Are they driving the truck? Okay. All right, I'm just going to give you my version of their story. They left, they moved to Texas, and then they decided they missed us so bad they moved back. All right, so it's great to see you here. All right, so... what does this whole worship thing and what happened last week have to do with Easter? Yeah, Easter. Easter is the goddess Ishtar. Never mind. Resurrection Sunday. Amen. What are you laughing? Pick on the other pagan things? Okay. So I want to start in 1 Peter 2. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, and I can't even remember if I put that on a slide, but I'm just cheating and I'm jumping outside of the order of slides. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 says, come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy people and priests who offer the spiritual sacrifice that pleases him because of Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice where it opened up? I said to you, the scripture says, come to Christ, right? I mean, it's almost like this straight up, not going to sugarcoat it message. I want you to come to Jesus, right? Why? He died and he rose again because he knew that he was going to make a way where there was no way. So by not coming through or to Jesus, like you're lost. You have no hope. You have no future, right? Your whole destiny, both on this earth and in the eternal life, are all dependent and hinging upon Jesus. Like there's no other name by which you can be saved, right? So come to Christ. It's like, right? Then you come to Christ and he changes your whole identity around. And instead of being lost, broken sinner, right? What are you now? Holy priest, right? Okay, if we could continue on to 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11. There we go. Now we have a slide. You guys are awesome, though, pulling stuff up randomly, I have to say. But you are not like that. You're not like the, you know, sinners. You're a chosen people. Can you actually say that? I'm chosen. Who are you chosen by? God, the Father of the entire universe, chose you. Like, you got to feel pretty special. You are royal priest. Can you say that one? I'm a royal priest. Or priestess, if you identify as a priestess. And royal, like not just like the bottom of the barrel, but like the top. You are royal because of the King of Kings, and you're a priest because your job, your eternal purpose is now been converted over to loving on him and ministering to him. Right? Like we all say, hey, the number one thing I got to do is I got to find a church. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I have to, right? I got to do all these things. Maybe serve as a Sunday school teacher and give my 10%, and then I'm a good, and it's like, you know what? Can we take all that mess, put it kind of down here for a second and say your number one priority is to minister to Jesus. You're a priest, right? All right, and then keep reading here. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So you can like literally show off the darkness you were in because you're really here to just show off the light that he's pulled you into. Right? And you're supposed to show that. Well, how do I do that? How do I show it? Do I got to write the perfect testimony? Well, we're going to get to that. Let's go on to verse 10. Once you had no identity as a people, you were nothing. You were what your parents told you you were. You were what you thought you wanted to be when you grew up. You were whatever you were at, but you are not who you are. You have an identity now as a people. Now you are God's people. Right? And once you received no mercy, and now you have received God's mercy. So dear friends, this is verse 11. I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage against your very souls. Right? Well, there's some power in there. Can we break this apart for a minute? The first one I want to grab is, you know, once you had no identity, but now you are God's people, that means he actually transformed you with a new design and your new DNA was built to respond to the love of God. Now, do you understand the term, the definition of the term respond? I mean, it's not complex. It means he reaches out and, you know, pokes you, loves you, says something to you, and then you just say, yes. And it's my joy to say yes. It's my, you know, thank you. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for your love, right? Just responding. That's your identity. You're a responder. Hopefully you're a first responder. Yeah? Are you a first responder? A reluctant responder? All right, it's all about attitude, and the attitude is based on gratitude. That's scripture because it rhymes. This thing is about not just a few priestly people. So it's not just like a couple of elders and some pastors and maybe some Sunday school teachers and then the rest. You know, you come to sit on your butt and be blessed. You're a priest. I'm speaking on the mic right now, but you're a priest. Right? It's about a faith community of priests. Like, look around the room and just, like, for a second say, like, these are all God's priests, all of you, here with the purpose of ministering to him. And that's why we sing, and that's why we, you know, contribute in every way we can, and that's why we respond. Because in our response, we're giving back to him, right? For to you are all things, through you are all things. You deserve the glory, right? It's just in, out, back to him. Right? We're making known his glory. That's how we are showing the world that we were pulled into marvelous light. We're just reflecting the glory of God. You with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I led him to the Lord right there, but
That's right. And that sounds like a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You're actually saying you've got to taste this. It's awesome. Right? Open up. Here's a sample. Can we look at 1 Peter 2:9 in the King James? I was in the mood for a couple of thousand these, so. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. that ye should show forth the praises of him. Did you catch that difference in King James? You are designed to show forth his praises. Your response, your yes to his love in your life is showing forth praise. So not only are you a priest, you're a worshiper. You're a worship leader. And everywhere you go, you start the worship. Right? You show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we are all worshipers declaring the praises of God into the brokenness and the darkness as ones who've been called out of it, and now we're something else. Yes? Now, when I say all this, you know, and as I build you up and I say, you're a priest, you're a worshiper, right? I'm not diminishing the role that other spiritual leaders have in church, right? I don't care. It's not like, but not diminishing the fact that people are pouring in time and effort to be on this stage, practice, and you know what I mean? Like they're doing things in order to be excellent so that when you come dragging through the door, your children have two different shoes on, right? And you've been pulling your hair out just trying to get them in the room, right? And then you're expected to go straight from, you know, just like, yeah, to, ah, it's hard, right? And so we do have like worship team. They're designed to help you like get past all that and just keep going, right? But then we have to realize that, you know, just because they're there doesn't mean you're off the hook and you don't have a job to do in all of this. Your job is to show forth the praises of God, whether this team shows up or not, right? I mean, matter of fact, what if they all decided they're not going to come today? You still worship, right? You better. If you can't, then you know something's wrong, right? And how do we learn to worship and how do we learn to be worshipers in this world is if you can't do it in your private time and alone, you cannot do it here or here, right? Now, I got so much to say and I don't want to shame anybody. So if you hear something that like pricks you a little bit, I'm not being mean, okay? But there are people who just cannot worship in the public setting. They sit down, they're like, and I would dare to say, I bet you don't do it at home. Got quiet, sorry. Huh? Okay, like if you're like, I just don't get into that stuff where I can actually show my expression to the Lord. Well, yeah, you probably don't do it at home either. Right? And I'll reverse it too, and that is if you ever think that you can get in a public setting, I keep looking at the stage, I don't know why, but whether it's on the stage or whether it's right here in the seats, right? If you ever think that you can just suddenly burst out and be all, whoa, but you don't do it at home in your private time, I would say that's equally broken and wrong. Yeah, me too. Yeah, shower time with Jesus. He reaches those hard-to-reach places. Sorry, too much. Donna, you're dangerous. You inspire. All right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yep, worship in your hallway. Worship as you're waiting for your victory, right? So then we are together a worship band or committee, or you know, we're worshiper priests that are here to declare forth and show forth the praises of God. It's our job as believers, and that's what draws the world into his marvelous light, right? Our gatherings have to flow around what is he saying or what is he doing? Because if every one of us are worship leaders, can I say it this way, then like who's in charge? He is. He is the head. We're the body, right? And he does all things for his glory. And so it becomes a challenge at times. And this is important to talk about, because I'm noticing that there's a wave of worship coming. And it's not just to River, but man, I feel like, just if I could keep it within the context of River, there's a worship wave that has been rising. You know what I'm talking about? It's looking dangerously close like the start of revival. And remember, I said if it happens here and it doesn't happen at home, that's wrong, right? Revival is going to happen here, but it better happen at home too, right? What'd you say? Tsunami. But man, there are these times in my life where I watched God in worship just literally walk into a time of worship, and he decided he was going to do something, and it really didn't matter what anybody else was doing. And I've watched people get very excited and just like blurt out, ah, because they're excited. He's here. Oh my gosh. And then they want to take, right? And that stops him. He's like, hey, shh, right? So I want you to just begin to pray about how can we work together, and how can we breathe in, breathe out, respond to him, but only do what the Father's saying, only, right? Do what the Father's doing. But it's so hard, because a lot of us get excited, right? And then when we get excited, we just initiate. But we have to be at peace, and we have to ask God, are you saying that? Are you doing that? Right? And my commitment to you, and I hope this becomes your commitment to the rest of the body, is that we'll always check in with the Holy Spirit and say, I'm feeling this. This wants to come out. Is this you? Are you saying this? Are you doing this right now? Okay? And then the second thing I'd love for you to ask is it for now, or is it for a little bit? Because there are times where, have you ever been like in the car coming to church and God gave you something? Did you have to ask, is that for now? You knew you were going to deliver it later, right? It's the same way in the moment of any time where the Lord has just shown up, he's doing something, you may get an impression, and you have to ask, is it you? And then is it for now, or is it for later? Could be, yeah. There's a cool scripture about, you know, where David was hiding in the cave of Adullam, and a bunch of guys from all over the country began to join him. They were frustrated with the state of their nation, and so they would rather join him in a dirty cave than live in the luxury of normal life, right? And so they were building a plan to take back their country, and it says, among them were the sons of Issachar, who knew both the times and the seasons and the appropriate time to act. Right? It's such a cool like picture of being able to know from the Spirit of God, is this for now? And is it from you? In the New Testament, we call that discernment. And it's a gift, and not everybody has that gift. Right? But some of us do. And so you just have to hold that. And I would also challenge that if your discernment meter is going off and you're like, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, that you not freak out. I ask you to move in a little bit of grace and say, here's the magic question. Everybody's going to love this one, right? You ready? What's wrong with me in this moment that I can't just be okay to let them be them? Now, I'm not talking about they're doing something sinful, glorifying the wrong God. You know what I mean? Glorifying the flesh. I'm not talking about saying something unscriptural. I'm talking about like people just sometimes are going to react, and I'm warning you in advance, because as the worship increases, so do weird expressions. That's correct. I know. I mean, you get very excited. Yes, you do. I'm trying to, it's okay. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to prepare us for, and you're like, but this is Easter. Why are we talking about this? Because the Son of God died and came back to build a nation of chosen priestly people who worship and who are a culture of worshipers. That's what he died for, right? And everything else flows out of that. If you're from that point on, once you establish that as your home base purpose in this life, then every other thing you do comes from that. It's called your lifestyle worship, right? Amen. This is important, guys. We don't want to get the cart before the horse. And some of us, we do worship to prepare our hearts for the scriptures. No, it's not what that's for. Worship is your purpose. The scriptures are going to help you get there. You know what I mean? Jelly bean? Yeah, you have to find your priesthood. Everybody's is going to look a little different, okay? For some of you, it's not music at all. But you still have to find your worship. You still have to find your voice in him. It's also equally important to call out that the quality of your worship is not based on the quality of the music in the moment. In fact, we should be able to worship in silence too. Right? Now, sometimes worship can be so bad it's distracting. I'll give that to you. But we got to put that under the joyful noise clause and keep moving. Get out your flute. Yeah, she's talking about a worship video that this woman on a keyboard is singing a song, and another guy comes on with this horny flute thing that I've never seen before. And it's so bad. It's so bad. It's painful to watch. And yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. So John 4:23 says that the time is coming, and indeed it's here now. When's now? Now is now, but it's also yesterday from our perspective, 2,000 years ago. It's here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Why is he looking? Because there's some people that don't want to do it that way. Some people want to show. Some people want to be entertained. I'm going to have to say it. Some churches draw crowds because they're entertaining. Right? And so the quality is in not worshiping the Father. It's the quality is, wow, I just really like this music. I really like this. Well, whenever your sentence begins with I, who are you focused on? Right? Amen. Amen. So please, we don't want bad worship, but we don't want to make awesome, you know, music become the driver of whether or not the Holy Spirit is here, okay? If some of this seems simple, that's great. Not all of us are on the same page, and we're all going to go somewhere together, and I want to know that we're at least on the same page when we get there, right? If not, then I got to spend a bunch of hours on the phone calming all the offended people. I might anyway. Thanks, Ashley. Here's the point I really, really want to say for the day, and that is River and the church-wide, but I'm going to say River because we can actually control what happens here as a team, all of us together, right? We have to have a culture of raising up worshiper disciples where we activate and we reproduce worship. Right? And then we take that out into our life and we bring that into work and we bring that into the neighborhood. We bring that into our politics. We bring that to Facebook. We bring that to whatever all the, huh? I know I'm getting old, Facebook. Huh? The morning commute. Bring your worship to, yes. Why do we care, Daryl? What are you trying to ultimately get me to? I want you to have an encounter in the glory of God. Yep. But this is about encounter. If you create the atmosphere correctly, if your heart is actually broken before him in a pure way and in a open way, then the God of glory comes and he rests in a moment and he will be tangible to you. And I've been in those services, right, you know, where I had my eyes closed during a certain worship service, and I'm sorry if I've told this story and you're sick of it, but when I opened my eyes after, you know, so singing, you know how I do, I don't really open my eyes, the whole thing, open my eyes, and everybody was on their face on the floor. Everybody. I don't know when it happened. I don't know anything. I was just minding my own business worshiping, you know. It happened, and then it kept going for about a year. It happened and kept going for a year. And then I moved here, so I don't know what happened after that. Huh? Yeah, I just don't know what's going on down there. In Florida, you know what I mean? I moved here, I don't know. Maybe they said, great, he's gone, because get up off the floor now. No, it was so cool, though, because out of that group of people became missionaries, both in the state and the city, also out in another country, right? I mean, it came trustworthy people. People who were, like, really difficult people were now suddenly very easy to work with. Why? Because God was transforming them from the inside. And where do we get transformed? But in the presence of God, in an encounter with him, right? I mean, I can't bang you on the head with this enough times to transform you, right? I can't, you know, I can sit here and tell you what you should and shouldn't do all the time, but until you actually stare at Jesus in the face, then you realize it's worth it, right? And you don't have to be told what I should and shouldn't do anymore. It's kind of like it's my joy to just do whatever you need, right? So we have to have encounter. If we can't have that, then we're wasting our time here. We're putting on a show, we're playing together, shaking some hands, and going home, and it's really a waste of time. So I need the priests and the worshipers to rise up. Remember Adam said something like that, didn't he? Was it 2 weeks ago? He's like, will the real Adam Arsenault please stand up? I'm tagging that. Will the real worshipers and the priests of the Lord please stand up? Oh, man. So if I can jump to Exodus 33. Am I out of time again? Why does it keep happening? I got a couple minutes? Yeah? All right. Karen said I do, so she's guarding the door. You try to go, she'll trip you, and then she'll pray over you. She loves that. Exodus 33, Moses was talking face-to-face with the Lord here. Okay? So I was with the Lord. We were talking face-to-face the other day. Right? And this is what I said. I said, if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I can understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. And the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Pat, pat, pat. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, did you notice God was like, I'm going to go with you, Moses? And he said, no, I need you to go with us, everybody, all of them, even the difficult ones. I need you to go with us. Don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? Can you just stop, hold your breath? I'm going to read this next sentence. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. You can exhale. Your presence is the one thing that makes miserable you look different from miserable everyone else. Right? The favor of God walking in you, living in you, walking alongside of you, smiling at you, even when you don't feel like you deserve it, right? And just saying, I'm with you and I'm not leaving, right? Yes? Okay, I mean, I really expected that to, like, hit you a lot harder. Now I'm going to have to sell it. No, just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. No, Moses knew that was the only thing. It's not about, like, great music. It's not about awesome preaching. It's not about how wonderful the kids' church program is. It's not about your small group. At the end of the day, those things are all important. But if you don't have God's presence in you, distinguishing you from all the other people around you, there's nothing different about you. Thank you. It's about intimacy, right? To know someone is to be intimate. To know God and his presence is to be intimate with him. Yes, and you want an intimacy encounter with God that makes the world jealous. No. They know. Oh, yeah. The world's smart. We're kind of not. Right? We come up to someone with a miserable face. We say, hey, would you like to meet Jesus Christ so you can be just like me? Right? And we're like, no. We want them to see an intimacy and a presence that is so close that they're like, I have to have that. I'm jealous of that. I want that. Right? Yes. And so the point that I see rolling out next is that Moses was speaking with God face to face, and yet he's asking for more. And so whenever we have these encounters with God's presence, that should leave us wanting more. It should never be just enough. Right? Are you with me on this? It should never be like, okay, I've done that. I finally get to say, I have encountered God. Bucket list, check mark, let's go see a movie. Right? It has to leave us asking for more, wanting more. You know, you have to show me something else about you. I have to know your ways. The deep is calling out to deep, is what Psalms 41 says. The deepest, most intimate part of us is calling out, I have to get to the deepest, most intimate part of you. Right? So the question becomes, how hungry are you? Stabbing. If you're easily satisfied, pacified, or distracted, you probably won't see much of the glory of God. Even if it's happening all around you. And that's another point I really want to make is if you don't have a heart that's open and hungry, as the glory of God begins to fall and as you begin to see moves of God come across his church and begin to affect the world, right? Keep in mind, he called us peculiar for a reason. Okay? If you're not hungry, if you're easily distracted, you're easily satisfied, you're going to look at people and you're going to judge them and you're going to be offended by them. Ask me how I know. There was a time where I was in a church and the move of God had been going for months and it was not stopping and it was not affecting me. Can I just be ultra vulnerable? And I went into the bathroom and I grabbed both sides of the sink and I looked in the mirror and said, God, what is wrong? Why can't I have what these people have? What is wrong with me? And he just said, hey, just sit there and be quiet. So I had to go back out there and sit in it and soak in it and be a little, and then I started to realize, you know what? This thing stopping me is my attitude. I have a plan for what I think should be going on, and it doesn't seem to look like the way I want it, and therefore I'm offended, and I'm trying to like disengage even without trying to. It's right? And I had to fix that. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to tell you things have to get weird and crazy, and I want you to act weird and crazy, because I don't. That's another great benefit of New England. New Englanders really don't tend to be weird for the most part, right? Well, not compared to the Southerners. Huh? You're an exception, Dr. J. Okay, you can be an exception too. New Living. But I got it before the third edition. The third edition was ruined by some bishops in India. Serious. I'm being serious. They changed the meaning of some words and they watered it down. It's gone. So I'm dropsies after version two. Why is this significant? Because the next piece that I need to say is that God would come and he would meet with Moses. Exodus 40, I don't have a slide for this. So again, I'm just going to have to read to you in my worst reading voice. Exodus 40, verse 36 says, now whenever the cloud, that was God's presence, lifted from the tabernacle and moved, the people of Israel would set out on their journey and follow it. But if the cloud stayed, they would stay until it moved again. The cloud of God rested on the tabernacle during the day, and at night there was a fire in that cloud so that the people of Israel could see it. And this continued throughout all their journey. Can you say all? All. I want a cloud. I want a cloud. Do you want a cloud? I'm not saying a physical cloud. I want the evidence. I want to see him in my life. And if he moves, I move. And if he doesn't move, I'm not running out ahead of him. Bah! You turn around, he's not with you. You outran him. Or lagged behind. The concept here is Moses was used to doing business with God. He was used to following his presence. He was still asking for more, but he did not let go of the previous thing, which is, if you're not moving, I'm not moving. If you are moving, I'm definitely moving. I don't care if I'm scared. I don't care if I'm ready. I don't care if I have to take the whole tent apart and gather my things and, you know, right? I'll go when I see the clouds start lifting, because if you're gone and I'm not with you, that is a horrible place to be. It's dry in the wilderness without a father, right? Without the father, that's the right way. So rest, don't move until his glory moves. And you're starting to see that even in our worship lately, if you've noticed, where we're not just singing chorus, verse, okay, done. We're resting in certain moments. You know what? We're trying to teach you, us collectively, how to just be in his presence. Yeah. Like for some of us, we like to be busy. We don't like to just stand there vulnerably and right in front of the throne. It's scary and we don't maybe like ourselves, or we have a reason to feel like it's not okay. And so we get all agitated inside, right? And it's okay to just sit, because the glory is sitting. You know, when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, who was the right one in that story? Mary, because she just sat. She just sat. Jesus was sitting, she just sat. You with me? So we have to be ready for those moments, because there could be a moment where Jesus literally walks through the room, like we see in scriptures, and he might just start touching people, and people might start getting healed or delivered. Prayers answered, right? Relationships restored. People giving their life to Christ, like we saw the little boy last week, right? Just getting, he got healed of a chest thing. He just gave worship. That's it. We're just sitting in worship. No one was pulling his arm and telling him what to do. He just did it naturally. And at the end of that rainbow, we get to say, look at your neighbor and say, you were part of that process. You were faithful to create and house an atmosphere of worship so that other people could get blessed. Because Christ died for you and he rose again on a day like this 2,000 years ago for worshipers, not for people he could just rescue. Make sense? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And he who's forgiven much loves much. Huzzah. Can we go to the last slide with the prayer points, please? Here's some things. You can also pray for your attitude. I highly encourage you to do that. But help me to embrace my design as a holy priest, showing forth your praise in every detail of my life. Number two, let my praise reach others in darkness and lead them out into your marvelous light. Did you know your praise could do that? It has power, right? We can read, I have so many psalms I could read you about deliverance in worship. I'm not going to do that. Third one, build a family culture among us of raising up worshiper disciples, where we activate and reproduce worship all around us. Do you agree to this mission? Sue and I do. Cool. I'll lead us in a prayer. I'll make the veil available, the microphone, for anybody else who feels an urgency of the Holy Spirit. It's not only of him, but it's for this time and it's for this body. And we just want to pray back to him what he's saying to us, okay? So, Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful time in your presence. Thank you, God, that you are looking at us and testing us right now to see if we will be faithful to carry the move of God as it begins to come. All these blessings you've given us up to this point have been tests so you could know if we would be faithful. Lord, we are asking you, make us faithful. You've made us faithful of little, make us faithful of much, we pray. Let us house a coming move of the Spirit. Let us join with other churches as they house a move of the Spirit, and let it come and overflow into all of our local towns, Father. Change this area, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, build a culture of worshipers so it's not up to just the few. We all want to be priests. We all want to be your special holy people, carriers of your goodness, declarers of your marvelous light, Father. I ask that you show us, Father, where there might be any attitudes that might get in the way, any sense of controlling spirit that would try to shut down, get in the way of, interrupt, or disengage from what you're doing. I ask for humble, obedient, open hearts who test things with the Word of God, not our preferences, God. Holy Spirit, I ask for a overflowing sense of hunger in our life for you. And God, I ask that you fill it, but I ask that you keep us hungry. Don't let us be easily satisfied or distracted, Father. Tenacious is the word that I'm getting. Make us tenacious, God, to not only have your intimacy, but to also reflect that out to the world around us. Thank you, God. Thank you that you chose us and you found us and said, I'm gonna choose that one. That one's a good worshiper. They're going to step into the fullness of Christ. Thank you for that, God. Is there anyone here led to continue that prayer?
Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds for and our attitudes for any divine appointments that you may have for us this week. We ask that you would prepare the hearts and minds and ears of those that we are to speak to, that they would receive your word. And Lord, when they see us, when they look at us, may they see Jesus. And when they hear our words, may they hear Jesus and not us.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this word. And Lord, as our culture just hits a fever pitch in terms of its rejection of your best plans for them, Lord, we just agree with Moses. Lord, as we respond, let us not respond in the flesh, but let us point people to Jesus. And Lord, unless you go with us, we just can't do it, Lord. So I pray, God, as we are out and about in family and in culture, and with a culture that is so hostile towards a lot of what we believe to be true, I pray, let us respond in the Spirit. Let us be worshipers first. Let us be people of your presence first and foremost. Lord, give us the wisdom from heaven that we need to operate in this day. Let us be Easter people. Let us be resurrection people day in and day out in the face of great trial, great pressure that we face. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Anybody else? Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to us, for opening your word to us. Thank you for the expression of desire that you have for us, that you would want intimacy with us, and that you would want us to reflect that out to others. I ask that you go with us, Father, as we celebrate the rest of this day, protect people, draw them into awesome conversations, God, where they can be a witness and an influence and bring the kingdom of God into people's lives, I pray today, at the dinner table or hunting down eggs, Father. Just show up, I pray, Jesus, in mighty ways. And we just want to say before we go that we love you and we want you in all things. In your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, have an awesome Resurrection Day. Go and sin no more.